Amen. All right, take your Bibles to 1 John chapter number 2. This is our eighth lesson from 1 John. And I tell you, up until this point, John has been, he's been pointed, no doubt. That's how he is. He's a pointed person in personality, according to Jesus. He's also full of love, and that means he's sincere. And he's been encouraging these churches. Remember, in 1 John, this is a group of churches around the area of Ephesus that are dealing with this problem of Gnosticism. There's a group of people that have got on the internet or read a book and realized that they need to do something different. So they've left these churches, and now they're what's called in the Word of God, John calls them deceivers. Now they're actively trying to draw away church members to follow them. That's what they're doing. John is making this crystal clear. And I want to echo John. John is not talking to the mom and dad who had a son or daughter grow up in these churches who are now attending another church. That is not who John's talking about. John is not talking to the mom or dad that has a son or daughter who's left and doesn't attend church at all. That's not who John is talking about in the text today. John is talking about those who specifically have left and are now criticizing and trying to deceive and gain followers to their new way of churching. That's who it is. It's not the people. And let me just say this. John is going to say some very pointed things, and then I'm going to say some things about family. And when I say family in this context, I am only talking about church family. There's not a scenario where I'm talking about family, mom, dad, son, daughter. Nor have I ever, when talking about some of the things John is going to be saying about people who deceive. Family, the institution first created by God, where there's a mom and a dad and children, is something completely different than what we're talking about here. I would never, nor does this pulpit ever, talk about shunning or turning your back on your children or anything like that. That's not what John's talking about. Nor do I believe that. And we can talk about that later, but I'm well prepared to talk about how I feel about that. That is not this. This is people who used to sit next to you in a pew and got wiser, saw something you didn't see, they left, and now they're trying to deceive you and bring you to them. That's what this is. John loves them so much that he's going to say things like little children, like this family setting, because he loves them so much. But you got to understand, this is not the institutional family. This is the church family that he's talking about, okay? It is different. It is different. And so don't, and if your mind goes straight to the mom, dad, son, daughter family, that's wrong. That's not what we're talking about. Nor have we ever. Okay? So just keep all that in mind, because John, from now until the end of the chapter, gets really, really serious. Because there are people messing with his church family, little children. And he's the kind of older adult that you want on your side. Because he's going to flat out tell them the truth about those people. So I got to say all that because here we are. Now, if you've not been part of our class, we are teaching this, that the Gnostics were those who they fellowshiped with. They loved them. They went to each other's house. They played games together. They ate together. And now, again, because of some deception, have left. And let me just tell you, those who remained, the survivors, they're wounded. They're all on a spectrum. Some are more wounded than others. Some of them are more confused than others. But they're wounded. And get this, they believe that there's now a hole where that person used to be. And I can see that. I can see that that's why they believe. I mean, you think of someone who might have used to be here and now they're no longer here. You're like, man, there's a hole there on that pew. Here's what John says. No, there's not. Because they never were really there to begin with. So even though your emotion says, man, I really liked seeing that person there. And trust me, from a human standpoint, and when we're talking about souls, yes, we really want to be around people. We really want everyone to be saved. We don't want to be ugly with anyone. But if someone leaves and then starts to deceive, there's not a hole. They were never really there to begin with. That's what John is saying. I mean, we've got this group of people, you know, John's saying, listen, they were never of us. So there cannot be a hole. And now they've gone off. They've left. They're now bad-mouthing they're bad-mouthing the churches of Ephesians on Facebook. They're bad-mouthing their Christ. They're bad-mouthing their preacher. They're bad-mouthing their music and ministry philosophy on Facebook and in public. That's what these people are doing now. And John's saying, see, they were never of us. They're slandering their doctrine in public and they're spreading a false belief system to gain followers. They're doing all this. And John says, listen, if that's what you choose, there are consequences. We're not going to be ugly about it. You're not a criminal. The police aren't going to come knock your door down. But there are spiritual consequences for your behavior. And we need to understand that. So let's read this text this morning. We'll start in verse number 18. We're going to go 18, 19. It says, little children. Again, that's a sign of affection. It's not the same little children as above when he talks about verse 13, little children. That's a new Christian. These little children are like verse 1 of chapter 2. His children. Little children. It is the last time. John has been constantly, by the way, aware and expecting Jesus' return. Why? Well, read the Gospel of John, read the book of Revelation. This is on John's mind constantly. John says this, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. We'll stop reading right there. We're going to continue to cover one more verse. But first, let's get the understanding of this word Antichrist. John is the only Bible writer that uses this word, Antichrist. And so we kind of need to understand what it is. There's two ways we need to look at this. There's the, capital A, Antichrist, and then there's Antichrist, lowercase a, which we see right here. Let's talk about the capital A, Antichrist, first. Let's understand what that means. Well, if you're a person that speaks English, you know the word anti, or at least you think you do. You say anti. Okay, well, I know what antidepressants are because it's 2024 and we live in America. I also know what anti-itch is. Same reasons, 2024 and we live in America. So I think I understand what the word anti means. However, here's what it means in the Word of God. It means one of two things. It means opposite of, that's, you know, or it means instead of. Now, those are two completely different things. Now, the Antichrist, capital A, actually manifests himself from both of those definitions. He's the opposite of and instead of. But here's the problem with American Christianity. We focus, because of Hollywood movies and TV shows, we focus too much on the opposite of. And so we fail to identify the instead ofs. Let me give you an example. Hollywood and everyone says, oh, the opposite of. Well, if Christ is beautiful, the Antichrist must be the opposite of beautiful, which is ugly. He must be. He's anti. That's opposite. That's what they say. They say, you know, we see Christ. Christ was doing good. Everyone, even if you're not a Christian, you say, Jesus Christ, he was a good person. So the Antichrist must be a bad person, because that's the opposite of good. So it's a bad, ugly person. Okay, that's the opposite of Antichrist. Then we go on to say, well, his character and personality, again, are beautiful and attractive. The Antichrist, his personality, must be repulsive, and it must be ugly, because those are the opposites, and anti means opposite, because I put this cream on and I don't itch anymore. So it's opposite. That's what it means. No. Jesus spoke the truth. That means the Antichrist must only speak lies. You know, that line of thinking is dangerous, because we, according to John, need to be able to identify Antichrist in spirit. We need to be able to do this. So don't always think opposite of. Think instead of. Instead of. Because, according to the Word of God, the Antichrist will look wonderful. He will attract to him. He will be a winner in the standards of the world. He will be beautiful, and he will be like appear as an angel of light. He will be charming and successful. Those are not opposites. Those are insteads. So when we hear Antichrist, we need to think about that. And let me give you a practical application to that. You know, if someone said, oh, you believe in the Bible? And you're like, well, that person's Antichrist. Well, that would mean they don't believe in any Bible. That's the opposite of believing in a Bible. And we need to be careful. Because instead of says, well, I don't believe in this Bible. Instead, I believe in this Bible. That's just as Antichrist as not believing in a Bible at all. So we have to be prepared to identify opposite and instead of. Oh, this music that James leads and we sings, that's okay. But instead, I like this music. That is anti. That's anti. That is not honoring to God. That is anti. So keep an eye out and an ear out for instead of. It's not just as easy as we think as far as opposite is concerned. Now, the Antichrist in the Word of God, the Antichrist, goes by many titles. In the book of Daniel alone, if you look at Daniel chapter 7, 8, and 9, and chapter 11, the Antichrist is referred to as the little horn, the king of fierce countenance, the prince that shall come, the willful king, and just those four things in the book of Daniel alone. Now, none of those are repulsive. To be a king and a willful king, he's a little horn. You got to understand, he will attract people to him. He will, when the Antichrist appears on the scene, it will appear that he will have the solution for whatever the issue is. He will be like that. Now, if you go to the New Testament, John, in the book of John, records that he is the one who comes in his own name. That's referred to as the Antichrist. And in the book of 2 Thessalonians, the Antichrist is referred to as the son of perdition, the man of sin, and the lawless one. That's who he is. That's who the character of the Antichrist is. But there is a distinction between the Antichrist and what John is talking about here. John is talking about many Antichrists with a little A. That's what the A, the letter A is little. So he's talking about Antichrist, plural, in a many sense of the word. And so who are they? Well, let me just put it to you this way. They are an attitude, a spirit of Antichrist. And what they are, when John's talking about here, is a preview of things to come. So that's what you got to look for. When you see that John is talking about Antichrist, he's talking about there are those out there that possess, scary word, possess the spirit of the Antichrist. You watch them and they are just a preview of what's to come from the Antichrist. Sounds to me like people who are like this are dangerous. I wouldn't want to be Facebook friends with them. or go to coffee with them, or have my children hang out with their children, or like what they had for dinner on Facebook. I wouldn't want to do any of that because they are little a antichrist. They have the same spirit as the antichrist, and it sounds like it would be detrimental to a Christian to have anything to do with them. Don't have to be ugly about it. I'm not going to call the cops on them, toilet paper their house, burn down anything or anything like that. We're not going to do that. But we're going to protect ourselves and our children. Why? Because they have revealed who they are. They have revealed who they are. They are the Antichrist in spirit. It's like, listen, you're like, man, but I do feel like I have a hole where they used to be. Because, you know, I was in the same Sunday school with them and everybody would come over to my house. And yeah, they'd be one of the 2 a.m. crowd where they wouldn't understand when it's time to leave. They'd still be there. And so, but you know, that's just how they are with Sunday school activities. And now they're not there. And I thought they meant good. But listen, they don't believe like you anymore. They don't. They're anti-Christ in spirit. I hate it too. I didn't ask them to do that. I didn't say, follow this Facebook preacher. Here, read this book and see if you can change people in our church. I didn't do that to them. They chose to do that. And now they're deceiving people. This is what John is dealing with. This is exactly what John is dealing with. And he's saying, little children, I love you, you little second generation Christians. I love you. I've invested in you. Other first generation Christians have invested in you. And it's hard because you're like, well, we used to be so good friends and their kids are cute. They're not that cute. Unfollow them. They're not that cute. You don't have any business as a pro-Christ to have anything to do. You're not ugly. We're not ugly. But why in the world would you want to do anything with an antichrist? It's their choice to be an antichrist. It's hard. This is hard. This is hard. There should be no attachment to false teachers. Period. No attachment to false teachers. There should be no attachment to false believers. But we grew up. You didn't leave them. They left you. They left your God. They left your Word of God. They left your Christ. You didn't leave them. But you know what you have to do? You have to do the right thing. I can handle it. No. No. You can't handle it. You know what your response to an antichrist should be? First, here's what John is saying. He's saying, listen. He says, little children, it is the last time. He says, you have heard of antichrist shall come. He says, here's how I know it's the last time. They're here. They're attacking your church. Here's what your response should be. Number one, your response should be take the Word of God and then look at their behavior, their teacher, their saying, their posts and say, yes, step one, admit there's a problem. Yes, what they're saying, what they believe, they're not, they didn't kill anybody, but what they're posting is not what I believe. There's a problem. How do I know? I lined it up with the Word of God. What they're posting, what they're saying, what they're calling me about, want to have coffee about, all this stuff, it's not what I believe. It's not what the Word of God says. So number one, take the Word of God and admit and recognize the presence of an antichrist spirit. That's number one. Do that and you've gone a long ways. But it gets harder. Number two, so you've admitted it. Realize that there's going to be a lack of family ties, church family, and I'm not talking physical family, but you need to realize that. You need to say, oh, apparently they were never of us. You need to realize that. They were never of us. Apparently they were actively in the background having their own motives. That's number three. Admit that. Admit it. It's hard to admit. They were having their own motives. They had their own set of teachings, their own motives, their own beliefs. They read from a different library than you did. They got influenced by another deceiver. That's what happened. You need to take the Word of God and you need to assure yourself in that. You need to say, this is what the Bible says. I believe in the King James Bible. If they believe in something else, then we're different. We're not the same. They're saying, instead of, use this. Why do you still use that? Instead of, use this. No. Number four, according to Romans chapter 16, you can study this yourself, but Romans chapter 16 tells us to mark them and move on. It doesn't, don't be ugly about it. There's no ugliness in any of this. Mark them. They're not like us. Apparently they are never of us. Yes, there's a hole. Yes, it hurts. Yes, I wish it was the way it was. Mark them and move on. Move away. Distance yourself. Protect your children. Protect yourself. Protect your spouse. And this one is the hardest in step, this marking them and moving on. And because those who oppose our church or they oppose our Christ, you have to understand, they oppose our Word of God. If Jesus is the Word and this is our Word, then they don't oppose this Word of God. That means they oppose my Jesus. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's what it means. Well, that's harsh. I didn't make the rules. I'm just reading what 1 John says. But this listen, they cannot be fellowshipped with. They cannot be lingered on. They cannot be friends. You don't have to be ugly, but that's what John is saying. Why? Because their spirit is opposed to everything that is right and that is godly. You didn't make them. You didn't ask them to have that spirit. Your prayer is that they wouldn't have that spirit. You didn't want that. That's just how it works in a cursed world. And so you have to do the right thing. These antichrists, no doubt, would affect your fellowship. They affect the fellowship of the saved if they're not, now get this, now this is going to sound, if they're not handled appropriately. What's handled appropriately mean? Handled biblically. Okay? You have to handle these situations biblically. Those who are here to deceive, they reveal the truth about God's message. There will be deceivers. Just their presence reveals the truth about God. In fact, the word antichrist, again, occurs in the Bible, but only in John's writing. Let's just kind of look at those real fast. We're in 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse number 18. I just read that. Look at verse number 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He that denieth is antichrist, that denieth the Father and Son. If you were in class last week, you know exactly what we're talking about. They said that Jesus was born of a father and a mother, a physical man. And when Jesus got baptized, Christ, who's a spirit, because remember, the only thing that can be good is a spirit. And so when Jesus was baptized, they say that the Spirit of Christ came down onto Jesus, the man, and then he did all the works of the New Testament in the Gospels. But right before Jesus went to the cross, the Spirit left him. You know what that means? Christ's blood was not shed because he's a spirit, A, and B, wasn't there when it happened. That's what they're telling people. They're saying, instead of what you say, instead of what the first generation teaches, this is what we believe now because we read this book and saw it on Facebook. That's what they're saying. And so John here is saying, you believe that? You're an antichrist. Go to chapter 4, verse 3. In chapter 1 John, chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it shall come, and even now already is it in the world. Turn one more page to 2 John. We'll get to 2 John this summer. Right in the middle. Now listen, 1 John is written to a group of churches. in the area of Ephesus. 2 John is written to one church in particular. And we know 3 John's written to one man of one church. That's how you need to read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. In 2 John, verse number 7, it says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." That's the only time in the Word of God, the word antichrist. It's 5 times in 4 verses. But they made a lot of movies about it. A lot of TV shows about antichrist. That's the only times in the Word of God that it's mentioned. Those times right there in that word. That word is infrequent in use. But the idea of antichrist is frequent and important when talking about a spirit that's opposing this book, Jesus Christ, who's all man and all God. He's the Son of God. Remember, we talked about, go back and listen to the last week, the second half. You can skip the first half. The second half of last week's lesson is all about what they're teaching. It's all about the different rings of influence and how Yahweh was the farthest one away and how and how he took a spirit and he made it's all last week's lesson. And they didn't believe that. They did attend church with them, but then they left. And now they're saying, come. So let's go back to our text. Verse 19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." So what's going on here? They left the truth of the doctrines of those churches. Their churches hadn't changed, by the way. It's not that their churches changed. It's these people got influenced by something they shouldn't have been influenced by. And John's saying they were never really a true part of these churches to begin with. The spirit of Antichrist is revealed in these people by the stances they took. It's obvious. Let's go back all the way to chapter 1 and let's think about everything we've heard the last 7 lessons. In my class, we understand that if they say love not the world, obviously there were people loving the world. And those people were deceivers. Okay, so we understand that. So let's say they questioned the deity of Jesus Christ. That's antichrist. They diminished the work of Christ to bring salvation. They claimed Christ was a spirit. And again, there could be no blood atonement for sin if Christ was just a spirit. They belittled the presence of sin in their own lives. Because John says, well, if someone says they don't have sin, here's why they said that. If you're just joining us, they believed the only thing that was good and holy are spiritual things. So what they did in the physical didn't matter. It didn't matter. They can live however they want. And here's what they'd say. Yeah, but my spiritual life's on a higher plane. And guess what? You couldn't prove it because you can't see my spiritual life. That's how they think they've won. And they're like, come to our church because spiritually speaking, this is how we believe. Now listen, there's a healthy spiritual attitude that every person should have. This is not a religion. This is a spiritual relationship with the Creator God. That's what Christianity is. But if you ever notice, people who get too spiritual all of a sudden don't start talking about blood. You know why? Because just like this, they're like, Christ was a spirit, so there could be no blood. That's what happens in today's world. It's just this repetitive deception. It goes on and on and on. And that's what they're doing. And not only that, they lied about the presence of God in their own life. Because he even talks about it. Those people who say they have fellowship with God. They sought to disrupt the progression of the gospel in the lives of the saved and the unsaved. They desired dissension in these ranks. And John has listed every one of these ever since chapter 1, verse 5, all the way down to chapter 2, verse 17, picking apart everything they said they believed. Now get this. Then it says here at the end of verse 19, it says that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now what does that mean? Here's what it means. A healthy church can purge itself of poisons. A healthy church can do that. No one likes that. Preacher says Berean Baptist Church is for everyone, right? It is. But that doesn't mean that everyone wants to be like Berean Baptist Church. Right?
Amen.
That's a choice. We're not robots. But a healthy church can purge itself of poisons and continue on, keeping on, keeping on. It can do that. And that's what John's telling them. And a compromising and a false Christian will not feel comfortable in a healthy church. They will not. And there's two things that will either happen. They will either change and get right with God and repent and say, I was wrong. I can't believe I let that into my life. I can't believe I was influenced by that book. I should have been influenced by this book. I should have been like that. I have repented. And I am thankful for Berean Baptist Church. They'll either do that. And let me tell you, if they did that, man, Berean Baptist Church, there'd be hugs and kisses and snot and tears and fellowship. And all the feels would be there. No doubt. It wouldn't even be, well, let's just wait a week. It wouldn't be that. We wouldn't put a, let's just see if this pans out. About as fast as God saves you is how fast Berean Baptist Church would have put a hug on somebody who's an antichrist in spirit that then repents. You wouldn't see some people move so fast. Because we love people. And we didn't choose that for them. Or they'll leave. That's what happens. They'll either get right or they'll leave. And that's the sign of a healthy church. A healthy church can purge itself. And that's what he means at the end of verse 19. So now we're going to move into verse 20. He says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now, first of all, let's just get to the end part of that. Ye know all things. That is a jab at the Gnostics, because the Gnostics are on a higher plane. They're on a high... You're not there yet, young one, but if you could see my spiritual life, you would know what we're talking about. Just keep coming and keep tithing. That's what they're doing. And John's like, no. You know all things. Listen, let's just be real for a minute. Isn't it awesome that the moment you get saved, you get all the power, all the Holy Ghost, all the access, all just right there? It's not like you're going to get more. You know what happens? Your sin clogs that up, but John's given a solution to that. But you get all that the moment you get saved. That word unction means anointing. Now, this is spooky to some people. It means anointing. That's what that word means. In fact, later on in the chapter, John's going to change and he's not going to use the word unction anymore. He's going to use the word anointing, but that's what that word means. He's saying when you got saved, you were anointed. You were set apart for a special purpose. You were anointed by the Holy One with His Holy Ghost. You know all things. You don't have to do what they're doing to figure out this higher realm. You know, you don't have to do that. You're saved. And he's not trying to convince them. He's trying to encourage them and remind them of things they already know. Okay? They know this. And he's not dogging on them. He's not saying, snap out of it. He's not being ugly at all. John, these people are survivors. They were just attacked publicly and privately by a group of people who thought they know better. And they, every time they're in the market, and every time they're at work, and every time they gather around, there's these people be like, yeah, I used to agree like them, but instead now I do this. Yeah, you're antichrist. And John's saying, but you're survivors. You took the attack and you lived through it. Now stay strong and remember what you learned. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying here. You know all things. Now, why? Why? And I love that term, but ye. But ye survivors, ye faithful, ye grounded, ye rooted, ye settled, but ye have an unction. Ye have an anointing. Now, there's a reason. The unction from the Holy One, again, is only attained at salvation. He's saying, you all who are saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and He's showing you everything you need to know. And you have, when you get saved, all the Holy Spirit of God you're ever going to get is received. That's amazing. We don't do that. We say training wheels. Then we'll take the training wheels out and you can ride your bike up and down the block, but I'm going to have to stand there. And then you can go around the corner, and I'm not going to follow you around the corner. I'll let you go around the corner, but you got to come right back. And then after you do that, you know, for years, then we'll get a car, but I'm going to sit right beside you. And after we do that for years, then you go in the car by yourself, but I'm going to track on your phone. That's what we do. God says, you're one of mine. The Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to anoint you with, I'm going to fill you with, and that's all you need. That's all the power that you'll ever need. Now, there's things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to continue to have fellowship with Him, right? We know all that, but it's just amazing. But these people are not saying that. These deceivers, they're not saying that. So, who can have this indwelling? Is it a special few? No. No, everyone who gets saved. Is this indwelling a higher saved class of believers? No. Everyone who gets saved, and anyone can be saved. It's amazing how John is saying, when we accept Christ as the truth and our Savior, we are saved. And when we get saved, we are taken over by the Holy Spirit at that moment. Again, what you do with it in your own sin life, you can clog it up and mess it up, but God's right there to help you clean it up. That's what He does. But don't be waiting on anything else, and don't believe those other stuff that people are telling you. There will be evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And thus you are anointed and you are set apart for a special purpose. And again, John then jabs him. He says, you know all things. The things you need to know are not hidden. They're no longer a mystery. He says, listen, first generation Christians came to you and exposed to you the Scriptures, and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You got saved, period. Now live like it. There's higher realm secret stuff. No. No. Now, let's read the rest of the chapter. We will cover chapters 20 or verses 21 through 23 last week, but I want you to see how everything I just said comes together on where we're going. But ye have an unction, verse 20, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Sounds like they're liars. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. And we already understand what they're saying by that. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. So you can see where this is all coming together. You got these teachers and what they believe and what John is saying about it. And he's not holding back. You know why he's not holding back? Because they're messing with his little children. Do the right thing, dads. Protect your little children. Know how to identify the spirit of Antichrist. There's going to be some opposite, but just between me and you, I would say look for the instead. It's out there. And then do the right thing and guard your family. Let's get ready for Big People Church.